Number one sports gambling podcast coming out of the Pat McAfee Incorporated offices. We are in those offices. I am Tone Diggs. Sitting next to me to my left will be Pat McAfee. I believe he's on the computer trying to see if his results are in yet, to see if he may have fractured his T1 and T2 vertebrae from war games last night. I mean, the guy put his body through hell. We're just happy he's here. We're happy that, you know, he's in one piece, but hopefully we're praying for his vertebrae. He will be in here in a second. The man to his left. Let me start this first. I was going to say that you had a hell of a weekend. You did have a hell of a weekend. We all had a hell of a weekend, but this man had the best weekend. 6-0 for Bubba Gumpino this weekend on his NFL bets. How do you feel, Kyle?
Just got to keep swinging, Tony. I said it a million times. You're going to hit. You're going to lose some. You're going to win some.
The tide is for sure turning. I believe this next man was 3-1 the last 2 weeks. So I think he's found his groove, too. Former NFL GM. Host of the Lombardi Line, the GM Shuffle Pod. Make sure you subscribe to the Daily Coach and writes for The Athletic. Michael Lombardi, how you doing today, Michael?
I am great, thank you. Congratulations, Gump. I'm proud of you. Everybody was good. I mean, it was a good week. We're getting there. We're finally getting there. We're peaking at the right time.
Let's not sell Tony short here.
Tony was 4-0.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And let's not sell you guys short. I only would have been 3-0 if I didn't decide on the jump on the Colts with you guys, which – They tried.
I mean, Gump and I were ready to give that one up. I thought that was goner, you know, and I thought, shoot.
They tried, Michael.
I thought the Packers were going to get backdoored. I thought the Saints were going to get backdoored, too. In other weeks, that's a 3-3 day the way things have been going. You know what I mean?
If this was last week, the Dolphins would have got backdoored yesterday. The Colts would have got backdoored. The Saints would have got backdoored. The Rams would have got backdoored. And the Packers definitely would have got backdoored. But the way that things worked out yesterday.
Hey, shout out Aaron Jones, man of the people. You put that ball in the end zone, pal.
Yeah. And then how about, I thought for sure the Eagles, I thought they would at least get, you know, cover, a backdoor cover. And, you know.
That was an incredible interception, too.
Yeah. Once Pettin decided to rush him the right way, make him play quarterback, that was it. I'm disappointed in the Arizona. You know, Kyler Murray the last 2 weeks, now he's averaged under 5 yards per pass attempt. I mean, it's bad for the Cardinals. You're going to have – it's going to be – my numbers on the Cardinals are wrong.
Something,
it's going to be a while before I pick them again.
Something's up there too, Mike, because Hopkins was like mad the whole game.
Yeah.
Michael, since he had his – so let's go the four games before he hurt his shoulder. 10 rushes for 74 yards, 14 for 67, 11 for 106, 11 for 61. Since he hurt his shoulder, 5 for 15, 5 for 31, 5 for 15. That's – if he doesn't rush, they're not –
He can't win with his arm. Tony can't win with his arm. He's not going to win with his arm. He's going to win with his foot movement, getting out of the pocket and making loose plays. He's not – he's too – when you make him play quarterback, he's a little quarterback. He becomes Doug Flutie.
Legendary Calgary Stampeder, my friends.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying he can't play, you know, nor would I think Doug couldn't play today, but it's a hard thing. There's the man. There he is.
Were you able to turn around when you got a
T1 and T2?
Were you able to get the results?
No results back yet. I was waiting as long as I possibly could, though, because believe it or not, the body is very sore right now, and I need to know if I'm potentially
going to go sit in an ice bath.
You know, I was once a big ice bath guy, too, like in my playing days, every day training camp, because I didn't really have much else going on anyways. You'd see me in the ice tub 15, 20 minutes. There's people that like to flush, you know, they go like 3 minutes in the cold, 2 minutes in the warm, and they try to flush. I used to just get in there, park it, and I would just cold tub, and I'd feel immediately better. That was one of those things when I retired, I decided, you know what? Never getting in one of those goddamn tubs ever again. So maybe today is the day I bring it back, Mike.
They say that's the, like, Tony Robbins says that's the greatest thing you can do every day for yourself is, like, get your, like, 2 minutes in 58-degree water, just kind of cool, and it makes your body come to life better.
Have you ever heard the Wim Hof method?
No.
That's probably who he got it from, is this dude over in some cold-ass fucking country. I'm not sure. It's in the Alps somewhere. It's called the Wim Hof Method. It's like freezing cold water and breathing and all this stuff. They say the cold water is really, 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 really good for you mentally. Your skin is good and everything like that. But for me, until I got those things that I can put over my toes, the rubber things, probably not going to find me in there.
Yeah.
I need it, though, Mike. I mean, this is...
I was trying to find where Wim Hof was from. I couldn't find
it. Where is he from?
Couldn't find it. I see the breathing method here. I mean, you also have a 13-inch scar on your right tricep. I don't know if you know about that one, too.
What do you mean?
Or maybe it's because you were sitting on a chair out there. I don't know.
I do got shit on my back, though. I mean, you guys have seen it.
Check these out, Michael. Hey,
I mean, I told him he looked like when Jason Bourne got off the boat.
Oh, yeah, that was you. I didn't know those were there, by the way, until I got in the shower.
Neither did Jason Bourne.
Mitt, I don't. We have not visited these in a couple of weeks, so the chances of these being correct are
slim.
Very, very, very slim. Yeah. Do you have our records?
They are correct, Tony.
Oh shit!
Oh. We're going to get back to 500, boys.
I don't know if those are correct or not.
Somebody might be getting down to 500, it looks like. Maybe me there. Still rolling.
Still rolling, dude.
Still rolling.
What was your one loss? Oh, the over.
The under. Gumpy, 6-0. Have we celebrated?
Yeah, we have. Yeah, we have. He's got the ring.
Yeah, he does got the ring. You wearing
it? You have it on?
No, we still got one more game here.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Ring ceremonies on Thursday.
Oh, you're thinking there's a chance some of us could catch up to you, man?
Well, I mean, you know me. I'm going to bet both games.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah.
Ring ceremonies on Thursday. Yeah, the Titans couldn't stop the Browns to save their lives.
I thought the phone was glitching. I was seeing updates on the phone, and I thought it was wrong. How did that game happen? I didn't get to see it from the beginning to end there. Was that just a steamroll by the Browns, Mike? And is that what we should expect from the Browns going forward?
I don't know if that's what going forward. I mean, they got a couple stops early in the game, and then they capitalized. They got turnover. They got a fumble out of Henry early, and they converted in the red zone. And I think this the signature of this game is whichever team forces the other to utilize their drop back pass game, that's the team that's going to lose. Because both teams can't pass protect in a drop back game. Both teams can in a play-action game, not in a drop-back game. And I think that's what happened. They got that big lead, and Tennessee could only run it 18 times in a game. And now Myles Garrett, Olivier Vernon coming off the edge against tackles that are not really very good. David Kelly at right tackle, Queensbury at left. That was a real problem for their offense. So, yeah, I mean, that it's all about getting the lead against the Browns will be a good opponent in a playoff game. If you know how to play the Browns. If the Browns play somebody that understands how to play them, they'll have a hard time.
That was the best Baker's look since his rookie year yesterday, Mike. He was slinging it all over the place.
That Thursday night game.
Wide ass open. Like I said to somebody in the league today, why doesn't Lamar Jackson run Baker Mayfield's offense?
Hmm.
Like, why doesn't he run that offense? Long play action, a lot of boots. I mean, the guys were wide open. He was throwing it to.
I think the Ravens are in a bit of shambles right now, Mike. They don't even want to play tomorrow night.
I was informed today, that they voted not to play.
Was that tomorrow night or last week?
Last week.
It was last week's game.
I thought it was tomorrow, too.
Is it?
That wouldn't be surprising me.
That team didn't go fight for Harbaugh whenever Harbaugh was about to fight the entire Tennessee Titans. Now they're voting not to play. I mean, that team's in shambles right now over there in Baltimore. I don't think it's salvageable this season. They're dead.
Was Earl Thomas too tough for the Ravens? Is that why they got rid of him?
What's the deal? What's the culture? Michael, what happened to that culture?
I wonder about that. I mean, what is their culture there? They talk about having this great culture, but all they do is complain.
Michael, you ever seen Weekend at Bernie's?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I've seen that. The guy's dead on the porch.
Can you see Mick, can you cut the Pat right now?
I'm in pain, dude. I'm trying to get
guys in pain. He's doing this. I mean, most guys would have called out.
They're taking a week off.
I want to tell you, can't do it. Can't do not overreaction Monday.
Not overreaction Monday.
No one hammered down. This is the first time in a long time this show has got a chance to celebrate a little bit. There's no chance I was going to I was going to miss this. But I will say my hips and lower back are in some deep pain right now.
Michael, is Russell Wilson dead?
I mean, I think they're, when Russell's in a way to where when he's got to carry that load, especially when they don't have balance in their game. And, you know, I don't know what's going on. I got to watch it today. I didn't see a lot of it. They did a really good job of rushing him. They sacked him 5 times in the game. They made him really uncomfortable on third down. He was complaining about the play calling in the game. So, you know, that's one of those that they shouldn't lose at home to Colt McCoy. They just should not do that.
Hey, Colt looked good, though.
100 yards passing. Had one mistake that kind of ricocheted off the guy. But you got to give him credit. Give the Giants credit. They played a good game in that game.
Since they have made the change at offensive line coach, Wayne Gallman has been running the fuck out of the ball.
Yep.
Alfred Morris touchdown.
I mean, big runs. I mean, and they stick. They know who they are. I mean, part of this whole NFL thing is to get an identity and believe in it, right? That's what Cleveland has. They have an identity. Tennessee has one too.
Joe Judge. I mean, they're 5-7. He has to be in the coach of the year conversation.
If it wasn't for Stefanski, I'd say yeah. I mean, and Tomlin's undefeated, so that's
fine. How about Bill? This might be one where Bill might run.
I used to say that there was in 13 when Bill lost to Denver in Denver. When Peyton won the Super Bowl that year, I thought he should have won Coach of the Year that year. He had a horrible team, and he got to the conference championship game.
Hey, what about a guy you're familiar with, Brian Flores?
I think Brian's really good. Brian's only going to get better. This will be a great week for Brian, especially playing Kansas City, utilizing some of the Belichickian principles to go into his defense, which can cover man to man. I mean, look, they're not going to single Tyreek Hill. They're smart enough not to do that, but they'll make it a hard game for the Chiefs to just move it up and down the field. That'll be a challenge for the Chiefs.
Hey, what do you mean by he's only going to get better?
You know, one thing about this head coaching job, you know, there's no school you go to learn to be a head coach, right? They don't send you. You got to learn on your way, and the more experience he gains, what he understands, especially in breaking games down and making the game plan offense, defense, and the kick game, he's going to get better and better.
I like that he went out to fight some players.
Yeah, he's a tough – I mean, that guy's in Brooklyn, man. He's a tough dude now. Brian don't take no shit. And Brian was a guy that, you know, the players respected him. He wasn't going to be just tell the – he told the players what they needed to hear, not what they wanted to hear.
Ooh. It's special, man. I'm telling you, as a Dolphins fan, to be excited about a team like this, it's incredible.
It really is. I mean, and Tua played better. I mean, in the first half, I was worried about Tua. The second half, he played much better.
What do you think, like, Chan Gailey's play calling at times is...
Thank you, sir.
A little bit concerning to me. Like,
thank you, Nick.
They had 3 times inside the 10, 3 downs. Both first down, second down, run it up the gut. Third down, they throw a fade.
I know. That's been the one play they use. Tua throws all the time. He throws that stupid fade. It's not even a 50-50 ball. It's like you have a 25 – unless Devontae Adams is catching it, you have no – it's a 25-75 ball.
Especially with a mobile quarterback. Like, just roll him out or move him once, please.
It looks like they don't want him to make a mistake down there.
Yeah, he hasn't thrown a pick yet.
Speaking of coaches, after you were on the Pat McAfee show today, great appearance. You talked a little bit about Adam Gase and Greg Williams.
Hey, real quick. Whenever you came on, we were at 27,000 active viewers. While you were talking, we bumped up to 28.5. You're a needle mover, Mike.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. That's you, though. That ain't me. I mean,
no, it's people come and go all the time when I'm talking. You came on, we had a steady incline up to 1,500 more people live, concurrent viewers. That's huge.
Thank you.
No, thank you, dude. That means a lot. I'm sorry there, Diggs.
No worries. People want to hear what Lombardi says, and I want to hear what he says about – because you talked about Greg Williams, and you talked about Gase, and you said that the head coach should have called a timeout. And in Adam Gase's press conference after that you were on, he said, I obviously wasn't happy about that. I wish I would have called timeout, but I didn't. So are they going to hold his feet to the fire or just fire Greg Williams?
Well, I mean, he's going to get fired, but it was complete – to me, it was complete rogue mentality. I mean, that was the most I feel so bad for those 53 kids that practiced all week that had a chance to celebrate their first win. It wasn't going to matter whether they got Trevor Lawrence or not. I mean, it was the chance for them to at least get some of the stink off their body. And for that guy to make that call, I mean, that's just anybody who hires Greg Williams, to me, you know, it's like my grandmother used to tell me all the time, you are who you hang around with. I mean, if you're going to go hire him, what's that tell you about your program and your culture? Because he's narcissistic at the highest level.
Narcissistic. Is that not part of being a head coach?
I think in the areas of being a head coach, you've got to be able to handle one of the four areas is called management of self, meaning you got to be able to govern yourself honestly and take information in and be willing to admit you made mistakes, which puts you out of the narcissistic category. Huh. But there is a lot of narcissism that goes on with coaching.
When Boston Connor just came in here, you probably asked for batteries for your microphone, right?
And I asked for a handheld mic to him. I asked, can I get a handheld? Mm-hmm. And he didn't answer for like 5-10 minutes. So I texted Nick, hey, Nick, can you give me a handheld? Because I couldn't reach this thing with how I have to sit here. So Nick comes and gets it. And then Connor reads the text messages afterwards and comes in with a portable charger. What is the portable?
Kids.
Patriots just won, so he's in his own world right now.
I mean, Mike, when Belichick sees a rookie quarterback, is he just licking his chops?
Well, I think what he did yesterday, if you watch it, I think he just knew that if he could get some pressure in the paint on him, those receivers are so good that he had to disrupt it. And I think that what if you watch that game, the way he rushed Herbert and the way he put his Adam Butler, it's 2 weeks in a row now, they've played centers that are not very good. And when you play a center that's not good, you got to cover him up in pass pro and you got to make sure he has to single block somebody. He can't be the helper. And he did that and he made that kid pay a price and Herbert got the shit beat out of him.
He really did. He really did. I have a question for you, just another off-topic question. I saw before we went on that the Falcons and Lions will not use an outside search firm for their GM coaching search, but the Texans will. Why do NFL teams, NFL organizations feel like they have to hire an outside firm who does not know them at all to hire their GM and coach?
And why are they still allowed to own a team?
Yeah, I think it's what Oliver North, when they had the hearings in Washington, he developed the term plausible deniability. I think that's what it's about. Look, we vetted this guy. If it doesn't work out, I've got plausible. That's why ADs do it. I mean, can you imagine an AD of an athlete of a college is going to go outside and hire a coach? You know, and I mean, like, I called one of the search committee, the guy that was running one of those searches last year to recommend a coach to him. He never called me back. Like, seriously, I mean, I got Heisman'd. I mean, like, seriously, like, you know, I'm not saying I'm somebody, but if you want to hear what people have to say, but they're so egotistical. They think they have the answer. Meanwhile, their track record, you know, is they don't post their one loss like we do here on Hammer Down.
I have a question for you. Who are these outside sources? Who are these teams? Are these just random?
All right, so Jed Hughes was a coach in the National Football League. He started out, they call him Dr. Jed Hughes because he was an assistant coach that got to end up getting his doctorate. He was in Pittsburgh with Tony Dungy, and the head coach was Chuck Knoll at the time. And the Pittsburgh organization, as they do running their team, they said, we want Jed out of here. You know, we don't want him as a coach, and Knoll didn't want to get rid of him. So Dungy left and went on to Minnesota. We hired Jed Hughes in Cleveland as an assistant coach when Bud Carson was the head coach, and he lasted a year there, which is why I would never make any of his lists because I've seen this guy's act. Then after he got fired in Cleveland, he went into the management. He went into picking coaches. And Bill Walsh is a great line of that. Bill Walsh used to say, now we have a bunch of bad coaches now telling good coaches what to do. That's what you got there.
So he runs the main firm that does these coaching searches.
Yeah, it does his executive search stuff. Like he would know.
Bro, how is that even something? Sell the team if you're doing that. Sell the team.
I don't understand it, you know, and they got a bunch of them. I mean, these college, they make a fortune. They make $250,000, $200,000 on college search committee jobs. Like, what are they doing? Like Al Davis used to say, evaluate the evaluator. Like, evaluate who's telling you what they're telling you.
Speaking of
seriously, do you think somebody in the NFL is really going to tell you the truth about somebody? Why would they want you to win?
especially if they have deals with other people.
Exactly.
Speaking of college, Mike, did you watch BYU Coastal Carolina on Saturday?
I missed that game. I was out. I was out and I missed it. I gotta go back and watch the tape of it.
It was electric. Awesome. Best college game awesome. I've watched all year by far.
That Zach was a good player, isn't he?
Who, Zach?
Zach Wilson.
He's all right. He looked a little amateur.
CCU got to him, man.
I saw some ugly balls coming out too. Long release too. It looked like he was taking a little bit longer to get the ball out. Saw a couple ducks that would have been picked off. I saw some wide open people that definitely were completions, you know. But I think we learned a lot about Zach. But also, he only had 2 days to prepare for that team, so yeah. It might not be fair to judge him off of that. But he looked a lot more human against CCU.
Yeah, I've watched him last year against SC. I thought he was good. I think I got to watch that tape and see what he did.
They were running that pitch option. It was clockwork, Coastal Carolina. Every time they did it, 15, 20 yards
first
on the
outside.
First
play was, what, 20 yards or something? Yeah. Like that.
They should let eight teams in this year. I don't see why. I mean, it's They're a weird year. Just try it out.
They're not going to.
I know they won't.
Why not, though? Like, yeah. Look what BYU-CCU did. They showed us that you can adjust and adapt on the fly. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be so stuck in your ways that you can't do it. It would be cool if they did that, but
they won't.
They won't.
They won't. They absolutely won't.
2020 deserves it, too. We deserve it for everything we've been through.
Yes, we deserve
it. We deserve it. They don't think about us.
They're already down to 32 bowls. It'll be the lowest number since 1977, I believe.
Oh, good. Get rid of them all. Fucking who gives a fuck bowl in Charlotte. Here we go.
The Belk Bowl.
Oh, the Belk Bowl.
Hey, I wanted to make one of my goals when I was in college, because we played in the Gator Bowl and the Meineke Carcare Bowl, and then we played in two BCS games as well. We won them all, obviously. But the one of my goals was to get wealthy enough that I can get up my own bowl, and I was going to make it the actual toilet bowl. That's how I was going to name it, the toilet bowl, and then put it in the city. So, because everybody's always like, oh, it's the toilet bowl of insert name of the city where the bowl is. I was like, I'm actually going to do that. I'm actually going to make a bowl, and I'm going to call it the toilet bowl. And the NCAA or whoever was running it would be like, yeah, as long as you give us stuff money, we don't give a fuck.
Seriously.
And like, some of the names are like, used car dealership from Bumblefuck Nowhere Bowl. It's like, who cares, dude? These people don't care as long as you're giving them money, bro.
Mike, last night, Chiefs Broncos. That was just the Chiefs shooting themselves in the foot a little bit, right?
Well, I think it's a formula, right? I mean, look, if you're going to play the Chiefs, you got to keep the score in the 20s to win. And the way you keep the score in the 20s to win is you're not going to make them punts eight times in a game. The way you keep the score in the 20s is you make them go 0-for-4 in the red zone. That's what you got to do. I thought Vic did a really good job of balancing his defense, not getting displaced by the motion and the configuration of what they do with the Chiefs offense. And he made them stay. I mean, look, he got the game down exactly. He had 9 possessions in the game. He kept the game light. They had the ball 30 minutes. He was 0-for-4. They kept him 0-for-4, 0-for-3 in goal to go, too, which was really good. And, you know, that's the way you got to play him. And just unfortunately, Drew Lock just isn't really good enough to play quarterback, or else that was the time. If you hold them to 22, you better win that game.
You think Tyrann Mathieu is probably setting him up the entire game for that play?
The guy stares down receivers the whole year. That's all he's done. I mean, the New England game, they got that game easily won, and he stares down the receivers. He throws 2 interceptions in the fourth quarter, gives New England a chance to really get back in that game and win it.
Patriots are going to get in the playoffs.
I don't know how. I think it's going to be hard. This is a big one. Thursday night will really decide that, because then after Thursday, they got Miami, they got the Jets, and they got Buffalo, then the Jets.
Rams.
Oh, yeah, L.A.
Pats are getting 6.5.
And that line's going to move. That line will get down to 5.5 before Thursday.
They also need
– how's Pats D-line? Not good?
Pats D-line played much better on – now, the Chargers' offensive line was not very good. But Butler, the last 2 weeks, Adam Butler, the kid from Vandy, has played pretty well, especially matched up. This will be – they'll go after Goff a little bit. They know how to play Goff.
Plus, the big game this upcoming weekend, besides that one, is also the Colts Raiders, because they're sitting in the 7th and 8th spot in the AFC playoffs. And then the Ravens obviously will potentially get a what's that?
That's in Vegas.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and
you
then,
said it right, Colts Raiders. I thought it was potentially in Indy. That's a whole different game in Vegas, I think.
Oh, yeah. What's going on with them, Mike?
Yeah, what the fuck? They're very inconsistent.
The Raiders.
The Raiders.
I mean, the Raiders defensively are not very good, and I think without Jacobs and they can't get the running game going like they need to. That offensive line has been beat up and hurt this year, which I think has been a problem for them. And you know, if you put pressure on Carr, which is what they were doing in the game, Carr's been erratic. And their defense isn't good enough. I mean, yesterday their defense wasn't good enough. So they're a problem. I think they're an 8-8 team. I really do. I don't think they're a playoff caliber team.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about some games tonight.
Yeah.
5 o'clock. So in about an hour here, we have the team from Washington at the Steelers -6.5. Let me pull up the numbers here. Currently seeing 56% of the tickets are on the Steelers. 56% of the money is on the Steelers. And that line has dropped from -7 to -6.5. Michael,
what is it? Was it at 10 at one point, Tone?
I saw it was at 8 at one point.
Okay. Actually, we've had it like when on my show, I think it opened up at like, now it may be because they weren't sure what was going on, but maybe that was a phony number.
And it's now down to actually -6 on FanDuel. So even though.
Six?
So even though the money is coming in on the Steelers, that line is getting easier for them to cover, which kind of scares me as a Steelers fan for tonight. What do you think?
I mean, my question to you is, you know, that is something wrong with Roethlisberger? He was on the injury report all week. Did he practice?
Oh.
Yeah, I heard that today. I think it's just a short week thing for him. I mean, he's been getting Wednesdays and Thursdays, I believe, off all season long. I think he's all right. He'll let you know. Ben will let you know if he's hurt.
They change field goal kickers too, right?
Yeah. That one's going to.
There is a thought to the under here, right?
There's definitely a thought to the under here.
Well, look, I don't think Alex Smith can score. I mean, Alex Smith threw for 149 on Thanksgiving Day the last time they played, and they won. I mean, do we think Gibson – like, I don't understand the line movement in this game because I don't know what makes Washington so appealing. Like, I don't think Alex Smith can play fast enough against Pittsburgh's rush.
And I talked about I think I asked Pat this the other day, like, will the Washington football team not playing since Thursday, so I believe it's 10 days, and the Steelers being on 4 days, is that a huge difference?
Well, I thought the biggest deal was that the Steelers played, they won, and they got chewed out.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a much bigger difference than the amount of days. Now, the Steelers at some point are going to get tired, right? They bye week 4. Now they had this Wednesday game to this Monday game and everything. So maybe they'll be able to relax here for a little bit after this stretch of that they're on. But maybe next weekend? Who they got this weekend?
So they have they have Washington, which I'm a little nervous about, but they have the Bills next weekend.
Next weekend or this weekend?
This one.
This one coming up?
Yes.
The Bills one's probably one you worry about.
Yeah, they opened as dogs against the Bills.
I think that's the one you worry about the most.
Yeah, normally, as far as them being tired 3 games in 12 days, yes. But normally that's one that they show up for, and I don't worry about. This is the one tonight that I – but you're right. They have like, – after Dallas, they blew out Cincinnati.
Yeah, they're like in the middle of – like I think they're in the middle of this like stretch right now. So they're not even realizing that like, oh, my God, what's going on. I think whenever you get to like next – this weekend, it's like, God – at some point on like tomorrow or Wednesday or Thursday, the boys in the locker room are going to be like, damn, like there has been quite a run here. And once that seeps in, I think there's a chance. I like them tonight. Yep. I like them a lot.
But yeah, to your point, Michael, Antonio Gibson has run for 100 yards at their last 2 games. Steelers rush D is not what it was at the beginning of the season. Since Devin Bush is out, I'm worried, a little worried about Bud being out because, yeah, everyone thinks about him coming off the edge, but he sets that edge as well. About as well as anybody else. I'm a little bit worried about the run defense tonight.
I mean, look. If they throw it, they're 31st in the National Football League in pressures allowed. Mm-hmm. You know, and they've played against one of the easiest schedules. They're the 30th easiest schedule in the league. Their offensive rating on my rating is 27th. You know, I think that, you know, for me, I like the Steelers. Yeah. I have it as a 10.5 point line. It should be down to 6. So, you know, for me, it's one of those games that the margin is enough for me to say I like the Steelers.
And you too?
Yep.
I like Steelers.
Steelers 4-1 against the spread. Their last 5 as a home favorite. 4-1 against the spread. Their last 5 Monday games. 4-1 against the spread. Their last 5 versus team with a losing record. 5-2 against the spread. Their last 7 following an against the spread loss. And when the line moves against Big Ben by 2 or more points in his career, 17-7 against the spread. I'll take the 6.
Yeah, we like it.
I mean, I think, you know, look, we're I know we're in agreement on this game, but we're in the minority. There is a ton of what they call, whether it's smart money or just there's a lot of people playing Washington, and I don't see it. I'm not going for it. I'm not biting on it.
Yeah, when I looked at this number on Thursday when we did the show, 10% of the money was on the Steelers. So this late money is all kind of been late money.
If it was 7.5 or more, I would play the under as my play. But at 6, I can't turn down the Steelers. No way.
So we're taking them at 6?
Yep.
Yeah.
Lock it in. Unless it goes to 5.5, I'll take it to that too.
So we're saying on the show that
sure, go ahead,
let's wait it out. If it gets down to 5.5, we'll take that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, so we get it as low as it possibly gets.
Sure.
Oh yeah.
But nothing more than 6.
No. Got
it. Correct. And then the late game tonight is Bills at Niners in Arizona. 53%. This is weird. So both games tonight, the tickets and the money match. 53% of the tickets are on the Bills, as well as 53% of the money is on the Bills, but the line is moving. Bills start, we're at +1 today, and now they're at +2.5, which is interesting to me as well. Mike, what are your thoughts on this one?
You know, I don't get this line movement. I had Buffalo as a favorite. I had this as a game couldn't play because it was the line was so close. I don't understand why Buffalo is like why they're getting so why San Francisco is getting so much respect here and where this money's coming from. I know it's not a home game, so it isn't that. You know, I mean, like I had this game as I thought it should be a 2.93 game. The line came in, so it was in the margin of where I couldn't touch it. I mean, if I touch it, I'm taking Buffalo, but everybody seems to be all over San Francisco. There's a lot of steam on San Francisco. I don't see it. I think Milano back for Buffalo really helps them tonight. Mm-hmm. And I think Josh Allen plays well against the Seattle scheme. Brian Daboll will do a good job. And, you know, they're back at the scene of their where they lost the damn the Hail Mary play. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they've been in the stadium. They're comfortable. I think Buffalo's a better team than they're getting credit for if Josh Allen plays to the level he can play.
This feels like an overreaction to the Niners beating the Rams, getting Debo back, getting Ayuk back tonight.
What are you taking?
I mean, Josh Allen as a dog, 12-7-2 against the spread. As a road dog, 8-3-2 against the spread. I'll take the points and the Bills.
Okay.
You shook off the first
one. The first one wasn't that good. I didn't think the numbers were that good, but that second one was big. Josh Allen just came on the show. I'm riding with him. Let's go.
I hate to go against you guys, but my numbers had told me to take the Niners.
Your numbers?
Yeah, I got numbers.
Well, you rolled those dice.
No, I wasn't rolling the
dice. What are your numbers?
I mean, I got some numbers, man.
You got your own little fucking algorithm?
Top secret?
I mean, I got numbers, boys.
Spreadsheet and everything? Do you really have numbers?
No, I mean, I have a website that I look at that has stats.
Oh, somebody else's numbers.
Oh, I mean, no, it's just normal, like Buffalo, yards per rush. Not that they rush a lot, 21st in the league. San Francisco's number 8, stopping the rush. Basically, both categories for San Francisco offense is better than the Buffalo defense. So I think San Francisco is going to be able to put up some points. And I'm just hoping they get enough stops.
Okay.
Niners just aren't great as a favorite, that's all. 7-21-1 against the spread. Their last 29 as a home favorite.
Listen, I don't feel great going against you guys.
9-21-1, their last 31 as a favorite.
And like Michael said, the steam. I love a good steam room.
Dude.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't. I'll tell you where I don't eucalyptus? Trust the steam at all is in college football. That steam
stay away from
was,
it.
All over West Virginia. All due respect, Pat. It was all over West Virginia, and they got their asses handed.
They didn't score.
Yeah, I bet on that.
I mean, there was
steam. How do you not score?
People listening to this pod, ignore steam in college football, please. It's not relevant. There was steam against Indiana. There was – where else was there steam? Oh, there was a bunch of – Auburn had a ton of steam.
Oh, Gussie Malzahn did us in, Mike.
Uncle Gussie's two-minute offense, he could have covered on the back end. He's throwing checkdowns with 30 seconds to go. I love a good checkdown in two-minute warning on two-minute drives.
Breaking news, Ravens just activated Lamar Jackson from the reserve COVID-19 list. That's funny that their game got pushed back to Tuesday. That makes sense.
Congrats to Lamar, by the way. Congrats. Happy you survived.
Happy him for surviving. So that'll be tomorrow. Oh, shit. We don't have a show tomorrow. You got any thoughts on that game? Completely forgot about that one.
Me too.
I think, first of all, the Cowboys are playing their backup tackles. I think the Ravens defense will get after him. I think Don Martindale knows how to defend Andy Dalton. He played against him at Cincinnati a lot of times. I think he knows how to pressure him. And I do think that they'll have a hard time in Dallas stopping Lamar's running game. I like Baltimore in that game.
What's the
It's at
7.5. It went to 8.5.
It's at 8.5. Yes,
I like the Ravens.
Yeah, that feels like the play.
Yeah. We'll have to tweet those out too.
I'll tweet those out.
Yep.
All right, boys. Hey, Michael. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. Pat, get better.
Hey, you got it, pal. I appreciate you. See ya.
You all right, pal?
The back is going to be problematic, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, when these results get back, we'll know exactly what it is. But I guess morning I slept for like an hour and a half, and I woke up, and it was just my entire body was uncomfortable. You know,
it's getting worse. Huh?
Everything hurt. Yeah. It's all starting to get worse.
All right. Well, hey, we'll get you out of here. We'll get you out of here.
You don't got to get me out of here, dude.
Well, no.
You know why? Because it's going to take me a long time to get out of here.
Well,
I sat down.
I got to go get prepared for battle here for the next 4 hours on the
internet. Oh, yeah. We got a game in like 55. I got to get out of here, too.
You got your shirt.
Whose shirt?
Tony. Shalif.
Shalif, baby.
There it is.
Oh, that's the shirt.
Oh, that's Shalif, the one.
Baby. It's a good shirt.
Ryan Shazier, Shalif.
I mean, your computer's kind of covering the whole thing here. But you know what I mean? There it is.
Shalif, baby.
Shalif, baby.
Every week. It's 11-0.
And that hat, right?
It's my new going to war hat.
It's his heel hat.
Is this because of what's-his-face Kevin Costner in Montana?
It didn't hurt.
Because you went from little boy hats to the big boy hat.
Oh, yeah. On game day, you got to put the big boy hat on.
Because you got to put your big boy pants on.
Going to war. See how many people I can mute tonight. All right.
Everybody have a good day, man.
Everyone have a good day. Good luck. Hammered.
Down. Down.